Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and welcome to another edition of Live the Promise on the weekend. Well, a husband, if you think about it, is many things to his wife. He's a lover, he's a provider, he's a friend, and even a protector. But what about a shepherd? Well, my guest today is Robert Wolgemuth, and he joins me to offer biblical insight and practical advice from his book, Like the Shepherd, Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace. I think you're going to be very surprised about what he has to say. And before we get to that conversation, I've got a quick announcement for you. We are planning and working hard on our Northwestern Christian Writers Conference, and we're really hoping and praying that you can join us. The date, July 13th, 14th. The information is up on the website, northwesternchristianwritersconference.com. If you've got a dream to write but you're afraid, put fear under your feet and determine to engage with us and join us. I would spend some time on that website, check out some of the breakouts, look at the faculty and who have appointments left, and prayerfully consider who God would have you meet with, and then ask God to just open doors that no man can close and start taking a step into your future, into your dream. I hope you'll join us. It was such an amazing conference last year, and we're making it bigger and better this year. Also, Spring Share begins next week. Do you believe it's already here? Your gift and faithful giving will help us keep us going and growing. And so whether you listen to the radio or through your favorite connected device, you need to know this, that your support enables us to provide relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching to many, to multitudes. We've got listeners from around the world. And I want to tell you, as you pray, as you sow seeds, that fruit is your fruit. And you can get a jump start if you'd like. You can visit our website to give safely and securely online. That's myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. You can even call the toll-free number. If you don't want to hang around for our share event, which I'll say, it's so fun. I'd hate for you to miss it. But if you just want to get a head start because you're a type A personality, here's the number, 877-933-2484. No matter how you give, no matter when you give, know this, you are helping to change lives all across the Upper Midwest, in Hartford and in Florida, and around the world through the live stream and phone app. So I just want to say thank you ahead of time for your generous gifts. Thank you for tuning in each day, and thank you for being such a thoughtful believer. We just love to hear from you, love your questions. We just love your heart, and we're honored to serve you. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Robert Wolgemuth is author of more than, count them, 20 books. He's the father of two grown daughters, two sons-in-law, a granddaddy to five children. His first wife, Bobby, died after nearly 45 years of marriage. And in 2015, he married Nancy Lee DeMoss, the leader of Revive Our Hearts Ministry, which we air on this network. Robert and Nancy live in Michigan. And this is the first for meeting you, Robert. I should feel like I should have met you a long time ago. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, where have you been?
I know.
So good to meet you, Susie. Thank you.
Well, and you as well, sir. God bless you. Looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah. So you know this. We love to start out by talking scripture, and it can be either a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days. Do you have anyone to share with us?
I do. And I just listened to Greg and Aaron Smalley on your broadcast, and it was just terrific. The Smalleys have been precious friends for many years. In fact, my first book I wrote in 1996 called She Calls Me Daddy.
Wow.
And I'm a total novice, never written a book, and I called my buddy Gary Smalley.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Forward for me, and he said yes.
Wow.
And then several years ago, Focus on the Family, who published the book with Tyndale, wanted an update, so I did some updating of it. And Greg said, I'd love to join my dad. So on the cover of the book is Gary and Greg Smalley doing the forward. So
fantastic.
What a sweet conversation it was with them. They're precious people. Mm. So fun to hear them. In fact, in answer to your question about my verse, Greg also pulled from Ephesians 5, and that's what I was going to do, but a different verse. And it really is, in many ways, it's the heart of Like the Shepherd, the book. It's chapter 25, verse 22. Chapter 25, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And, you know, I have a number of verses that I guess you would classify as life verses, but this is a big one. And this one really unfolded for me in a brand new way. Nancy, as you mentioned, Nancy Lee DeMoss, and I were seeing each other. I guess when you're in your 60s and your 50s, you still call it dating, but, you know, it's a little bit different kind of dating, right?
Definitely.
And I lived in Florida. I lived in Orlando. Nancy lives in Michigan. And we decided that I'm going to sell my home in Orlando and find maybe a condominium or something, and then we'd do the snowbird thing, be down there in the winter and come back up to Michigan in the summer. And so I had sold my home, and I'm looking for condominiums, and it wasn't a pleasant experience. And the Lord nudged me and said, are you sure this is what is right? You want Nancy to, you know, pull up roots for 6 months a year. She's got a ministry located there in Michigan. Her home is there. So we're on a Skype call. It's a Friday evening. We're looking at each other virtually face-to-face. And I told her about my failed adventure to find somebody to replace the home in Orlando. And I said, you know what, Nancy? I want to come to Michigan. I want to move to Michigan. There's no reason why you should move. There's really very few things more unpleasant than moving, right? Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's awful. Boxes everywhere and trucks and stuff. And I said, Nancy, I'd love to move to Michigan. And she said, you would do that? And I said, I have five words for you. And gave himself for her. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? And I can tell you a little bit about how the book Like the Shepherd came to be. But that's very much the mindset of a shepherd.
Wow.
Loving, protecting, serving, caring for his wife. And so that's what I did. I packed up everything and moved to Michigan, and I'm really glad. I know that's crazy because I don't see any palm trees out the window right now. All I see is snow and
that's
a frozen
love.
River.
That is love.
And I love it. It's good. Yeah. In fact, I went to the DMV in January of 2015. I had a Florida driver's license. I handed her my Florida driver's license and said, I want a Michigan driver's license. She looked at me and she said, nobody does this.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Nobody does this. Why are you doing this? It's January. There's snow on the ground. I said, her name is Nancy.
That's beautiful.
That's all I needed to say. So that's my text. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Well, Robert, you know, you didn't first learn it in that moment. You said you actually got a graduate study through loving your dear wife, Bobby, through 34 months of cancer. So for those who don't know your story, you've had quite a journey as a husband. If you don't mind, give us as much of the backstory as you're comfortable.
No, I'm happy. Oh, I'm happy to. Thank you. Bobby and I were married in 1970. We were kids, right?
Yeah.
She's 20. I'm 22. And we were married for 44 and a half years. We had two daughters. Missy was born in 71. Julie was born in 74. And they actually have five kids. You mentioned this in the opening, but I actually have one married granddaughter now.
Wow.
And Bobby was diagnosed stage 4 ovarian cancer on Valentine's Day 2012. And just parenthetically, I'll get back to it in a second. In 2003, as a literary agent, which is my day job, I represented Nancy's work, Nancy's writing. And so Nancy and Bobby met in 2003. And I wouldn't say they were close friends, but they sure had a great affection for each other. They both love old hymns and actually called each other hymn lady as the password for their – that was Bobby's password when she wanted to get online. So anyway, back to 2012, Valentine's Day, Bobby's diagnosed stage 4 ovarian cancer. And it was an amazing journey. This was an incredibly courageous woman. When she was diagnosed, my daughters and I sat down and said, okay, there are some things we know for sure. This was a surprise to us, but it wasn't a surprise to the Lord. We're going to treat this as a gift. We're not angry and we're not afraid. And what we care most about is that the Lord's name would be lifted up. He would receive the glory for whatever happens here. You know, we'd love for Bobby to be healed, but whatever happens, we want the Lord to be glorified. And so 2.5 years later, she stepped into heaven. She was completely healed. And during that time, I mean, whether it was a clinic or a hospital, a post-op situation, getting chemo, lots of your listeners have gone through this. And it's anything but a pleasant experience. But Bobby decided to take up painting. And so she painted every chemo treatment that she did. She did a painting. The 4 hours that it took, she did a painting while she was getting treatment.
Wow.
So she was amazing. In fact, a really wonderful thing is that Nancy streamed her funeral in 2014 and then contacted me after the funeral and said, would it be okay if I broadcast portions of this service, this memorial service, on Revive Our Hearts? Well, that was really the first time Nancy and I had corresponded since I had represented her 10 years earlier than that. So it was a sweet thing she did that. Well, the irony, and it's not irony, it's providence, okay? 2 months before Bobby died, she told two friends that she wants Robert to marry Nancy Lee DeMar.
You got to be kidding me.
Oh, I'm not.
Wow.
That's true.
Wow.
But she did not tell me. Now, I knew that she wanted me to be married, and I could kind of take that as an insult, like she didn't think I could handle life by myself. But the truth is, I loved being married.
Sure.
I did.
Well, you're a good husband, so, yeah.
And that's right. What's a husband without a wife? Is that what you're saying? So she told these two friends she wants me to marry Nancy Lee DeMoss. So all she had told me was that she's eager for me to get married when she steps into heaven, but she never told me anything about Nancy or about her desire. So now, early in 2015, Nancy and I are beginning to correspond, and like I said, maybe we'll call it dating. And those two friends sent me emails and said, we think you ought to know something. This is exactly what Bobby wanted you to do. So if I had gotten that word before Nancy and I started to see each other, it would have felt like an assignment.
Yeah.
But because we had already started our relationship, it felt like a confirmation, a very sweet confirmation from the Lord. So that we were married in November 14th, 2015, and we celebrate months. So we just celebrated our 27th, is it 26th or 27th, 27th anniversary. They're called, they're called Luniversaries, right? So on the 14th of every month, we get cards to each other. We go out to a special dinner. We get some kind of special thing for each other because we want to be able to celebrate the big numbers. And so we're doing it month by month.
You guys have been married forever now.
That's right.
Wow.
Right. We're catching up to some of our old friends.
Indeed you are. Wow, that's powerful. Talking to Robert Wolgemuth, title of his book, Like the Shepherd, Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace. Got three copies of this hardcover book. Robert will unpack how the idea of shepherding your wife was first born in his heart, and what does it mean for a husband to shepherd his wife? What does it not mean as well? Because it'll raise the hackles of some if they don't fully understand Robert's heart behind the book. I can't wait for him to unpack that on either side. So don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Good day today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Robert Wolgemuth. He's written an amazing book titled Like the Shepherd, Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace. I'd love to know, Robert, first of all, for friends, if you just tuned in, just hopped in the car, you want to go back and catch when the live show's over, we put it up in podcast pretty fast right after. You want to go back and hear Robert's backstory, because what a backstory on a journey as a husband, Robert. Really so precious and amazing. Mm-hmm. So now to present, how did the idea of shepherding your wife first come to your heart?
Several things. When Nancy asked me, now this is Nancy Lee DeMoss, the former, about marriage, when we were first beginning to date, I said, I loved marriage. I loved having the opportunity to shepherd my wife. And I don't remember ever saying that before. I don't know. Just that word popped up. It was true. I loved shepherding my wife. And she'll tell you today, that was a very significant conversation. She remembers it very well. So that word kind of popped up on the screen. And then Nancy loves old hymns. I love old hymns. And so, you know, we listened to a lot of music when we were dating, music in the car, you know, music in the living room. And what happened was we picked a song. You know, couples have our song, right? And I know a lot of old love songs. In fact, one evening we found ourselves in a restaurant, and there was a guy sitting at the piano. If there's anything that I can't do that I wish I could, it's that, sitting at the piano and just playing songs, old love songs, hymns, whatever. And so he was playing old love songs, and I know almost all of them. And Nancy doesn't really know that many of them. So I was giving her the lyrics of these songs as we were sitting there over dinner. It was actually a time that we won't forget. It was so sweet. But we decided that we wanted to have a song that's our song. And that song became Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Now, you know, there might be millennials listening and say, that is the nerdiest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I'd agree. That is the nerdiest sounding thing. That you'd pick a song like Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us to be like your love song, your song. Well, it was. And that really became part of our nomenclature. Back and forth when Nancy and I would text each other during the year that we were dating, we would sign off. You know, I love my shepherd. I would even say I love my sheep, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Some women wouldn't think that's a very good thing to say. But, so that became sort of the big idea, shepherding your wife. And so one day, and this is right before we were engaged, I said to Nancy, you know, you do these conferences, you're on the radio every day, Revive Our Hearts, you do True Woman conferences and Revive conferences. And you're encouraging women to let their husbands lead. You know, you're taking your admonition from Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3, and you're saying, this is a biblical model for marriage. I said, who's going to tell the guy? So the woman comes home, the wife comes home from a conference, or finishes listening to you on the radio or reads one of your books. And there's old Charlie, he's sitting there watching a football game, and he doesn't know what you've just learned. Who's going to tell him what his role is if your admonition to women is let your husband lead? And she said, well, somebody needs to write a book for men that gives them that message. So, like, we're in my favorite Italian restaurant in Orlando, and I raised my hand. I did. I really did. Right in the restaurant, I raised my hand, and the server came hustling over and said, no, this is another reason I'm raising my hand. I said, I would love to write that book. I would love to write the book that really is the counterpart, the other bookend, to your message to women, your biblical womanhood message of letting your husband lead. I would love to write a book that lovingly challenges men to lead in their marriages. And that book is Like the Shepherd, Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace.
Hmm. Well, you were going to mention, or speak to at least, women who maybe bristle at the idea of being identified as a sheep. And you address that in the book as well. But if you would, speak to that.
I do. Sure. Well, the subtitle of this book is Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace. Hmm. And even in the book, I tell a bit of a story of putting the proposal out in front of publishers, inquiring as to their interest in publishing the book. And I got a response from a publisher. They were interested in the book only if I'd be willing to change the word leading in the subtitle. And their reason was understandable, really. The stereotype, unfortunately, in our culture today, often, is that leading means something that it's not supposed to mean in the whole idea of biblical marriage. And I of course said, no, I'm sorry, that's a deal breaker for me. That's part of the reason why I want to write this book. I want to unpack what leadership in marriage really looks like. And so the leading that's in the subtitle is the image of the shepherd. And in fact, I was reading a book while I was writing, and the book was written by a Christian publisher, a well-known Christian publisher, written by a woman. I won't even say the title or the publisher, but a woman who was married to a pastor. I know this sounds outrageous and impossible, but it's true. married to a pastor who physically and verbally abused her and used Ephesians 5 as the basis for his abuse of her.
Hmm.
He would holler, he would yell, scream, and kick, demanding that she submit to him. And I needed to read that book, Susie. I needed to know what some women may hear when they hear that word. When, you know, it's the other S word. It's the submission word. And there's a reason, I think, sadly, horribly, there's a reason why women do blanch at that word, because men don't understand what it means to be a shepherd leader, to be a servant leader, to lead like Jesus leads. You know, the whole basis of the book is the 23rd Psalm, the good shepherd. And so I talk about my need to be led by the good shepherd to instruct me on how to lead in my marriage. That's the bottom line. And so I needed to hear that. And I have gotten, as you would guess, text messages, email messages, phone calls, letters, really pushing back on this. And my answer is, I understand. I do. And it's a horrible thing. But it's not the biblical model. It's not what you think.
Well, you open the show with the story of Skyping with Nancy. And again, friends who just tuned in, Robert, after 44 years to marriage to his wife, Bobby, she died of cancer. And later on, then he married Nancy Lee DeMoss. And here you've got a home in Florida. She's in Michigan. And you guys were going to do the snowbird thing until you decided, you know what? Laying my life down for her is to move to Michigan because her ministry, her support, and her life is there. I mean, that's modeling. You know, Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. I mean, you know, you qualified it just with that story, and I think that's a hugely important example, you know?
That's right. It is. It is. And it's honestly, this is not an easy thing. Somebody referred to this as the Proverbs 31 for men.
Hmm. Yeah. High call.
You read this. Yeah, it is. You read this book, and you can't say, there's nothing to that. This is a lifelong journey for men to understand, and I know this because I'm on this journey, to understand what it really means to shepherd your wife.
I don't imagine you could do that, Robert. We're going to take a break here, and I would love for you to speak to this on the other side. As a man, I don't imagine you could do that without an intimate, thriving walk with God. I mean, you think about how many men have father wounds, how many men have been so dissed by the culture, by their jobs, their bosses, whatever, but they need to know how God sees them so that they can lay down their lives. I'd love for you to speak to that. Talking to Robert Wolgemuth, his book, Like the Shepherd, Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace. Like the Shepherd, the Savior who leads us. This is what he's calling men to. And for us as women to embrace that whole idea and really to debunk the idea that's been more abusive and dictatorial, if you know what I mean. We'll talk about that on the other side. But if you want to get in the drawing, email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Robert Wolgemuth. He's written a book, Like the Shepherd, Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace. And prior to the break, just talking about some of the pushback because of the misuse of leadership within the context of marriage. And as I said before the break, Robert, you know, I have such a heart. We have as many men listening to this show as we do women. And I have such a heart for men who are walking around with father wounds and broken hearts. And, you know, you can't really impart what you don't possess. So I would love for you to speak to just the idea of what God wants to do in the heart of a man so he can lead the way that you're talking about.
Wow. Well, and that the hardest task of all, Susie, is starting new, is breaking the cycle. You know, it's far easier to say, I'm going to be just like my dad, than it is to say, I'm not going to be like my dad.
Hmm.
Because when you say, I'm going to be like my dad, your dad was a model, you've got handles. When he didn't model the kind of father, the kind of husband that you aspired to be, you have to find those handles on your own. That's a huge challenge. And your default, the wheel of your wagon drops into that rut when you're under pressure. And everybody listening right now understands that. It's the family of origin stuff. It's the the default screen on your computer. And so by way of the Holy Spirit, we commit our failing, our sinfulness, our selfishness every day. You have to do that. You can't let days go by and just let it be status quo, same old, same old. You find yourself, I find myself daily on my knees confessing my sin and saying to my precious wife, I'm not capable of being the kind of husband that you need, the kind of husband that you want, but by God's grace and through his power, I'm going to do everything I can to submit to his leadership so that I am learning how to be led so I can learn how to lead.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me, Watchman Nee said, you can't have authority unless you're under authority. And it's the same kind of thing. Unless you're teachable and led, yeah, you certainly can't lead. You know, another thought I have, you know, for guys, it's not an easy day to be a man. I think you look at the sitcoms, they portray the yeah, dumb idiot guy and the really brilliant woman. And it seems like the culture is set up and it seems impossible. The lane seems so narrow for you guys to do this well in a flourishing way. I mean, God's way, I mean, he makes a way where there is no way. But you know what I'm saying? I feel like guys are up against so much to try to do this when you're already starting out with a deficit as far as the opinions of the culture, it seems.
Yeah, and culture has low expectations for my performance as a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing worse than somebody saying, you're never going to make it. Nothing worse than that.
Yeah.
Far better for somebody to say, you know what? This is a tall mountain, but I bet you can climb it.
Right.
I believe in you. I think you can do it. And so you're right. The culture says, forget it. You don't have a chance. So, you know, I know you live in a football city these days,
mm-hmm,
but the best defense is a great offense.
Yeah.
You don't cower to that. You don't believe a word of it. You take the admonition that's given to us in Scripture. And as I mentioned, Psalm 23 was the inspiration for the chapters in this book to help me understand what it really means for the good shepherd to shepherd sheep, and then for me and my marriage to learn how to do the same.
Hmm. Well, this was so interesting. We'll get into some of these. A shepherd knows his sheep. He speaks to his sheep, satisfies his sheep, leads, protects, comforts. And we'll get into a few of those in a moment. But just one more question just around the overall content. You met with a young man who lamented over his wife's spending habits. He was afraid to confront her for fear that she'd blow up at him. And you came at this yep, conversation with him at a really interesting angle. You dared to ask him if it was possible that she overspent because she wasn't satisfied in the relationship. Unpack that one for us and kind of explain what you meant there.
Oh, I'll never forget it. So he and I are out to lunch. He's driving. So we're pulling up to his house where my car is parked in his driveway, and there's a UPS truck there. Now, it could be FedEx or Postal Service, but in this case, it was a UPS truck. And he groaned. He let out this awful. I said, what's the matter? He said, my wife shops constantly. She's obsessive about shopping. And because of the internet, she doesn't even have to leave the house. The packages are delivered, and that's another delivery. And so I said to him, you know, it's really interesting. I think what your wife is telling you is that she's not satisfied. She's missing something. And let me ask you a question. How are you in the satisfaction department?
Mm.
Like, for example, and this is a common thing. So if for men who are listening, buckle your seatbelt. But, you know, it's a common thing for a man driving down the street or watching a movie and seeing a Ferrari or something unimaginable for his own driveway and making a comment about a car he'll never own. Right? And so his wife is getting the idea that he's really not satisfied. Or he's watching the Boston Marathon, and he's saying, you know, I'll never do that, but I sure would love to try that. I mean, that looks like something amazing. I mean, who is this guy? He clicks off 5.5-minute miles, 26.2 miles in a row. And so my wife is beginning to get the idea that I'm not satisfied, that Christ isn't enough. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't work out to stay in shape. That doesn't mean that I let my car rust out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living with this low-grade sense of dissatisfaction. So if I'm troubled because my wife doesn't seem to be satisfied, she's a compulsive shopper or whatever, first I check my own door. I say, all right, Lord, what is it that I'm communicating to my wife that says to her, Jesus is not enough for me. I need something else. And there's an amazing thing. You know, it's interesting. You talk about leading your marriage with love and grace. Well, the truth is that I need to be worth following. I need to live a life that's leading in the areas that I'm struggling with, that I'm challenged with, and I let my wife in on this struggle. I don't hide it from her. I say, you know, honey, right now I'm struggling with X. I'd love for you to pray with me. Well, that's leading. So leading doesn't mean standing up on top of the kitchen table and pounding your chest and saying, follow me. It's becoming the kind of person that I want my wife to be. That's what leadership is. Leadership isn't demanding people follow you. Leadership is becoming the kind of person that people want to be, and then they follow you. And that's exactly the message of this book.
All right. So let's look at some of these. A shepherd knows his sheep. So make the application in marriage.
Okay. All right. Again, guys, if you're listening, I love you. You know, you're my friend. Don't take this personally. But two of men's favorite sports are hunting and fishing. Now, just look at those words. They're words without a destination, right? This is not killing and finding. It's hunting and fishing. So they're words without a destination, right? Well, here's an opportunity to have a destination, shepherding. There's a destination there. It's a huge challenge, but it's a wonderful challenge. The payoff is unbelievable. The ROI is all there for you. Now, you know, the biblical verb, knowing, really has to do with sexual intimacy. Well, I love that word, not just because it means that, but because it means that you and your wife are wide open with each other. You let each other in on your secrets and your fears, the things that you aspire to, your disappointments. And, you know, part of this is learning how to talk. Sometimes this comes more naturally for a woman than a man. You know, a woman sits down and says, honey, we haven't talked for a long time. I want to talk. And he says, well, what do you want to talk about? She says, well, tell me about your life. Well, my favorite illustration of this was given to me years and years ago by Jim Dobson, who talked about throwing tennis balls back and forth in conversation. I don't know if you remember this, but he talked about when you're raising your children, you learn to teach them how to play tennis, as in throwing a tennis ball back and forth. And so for a man to learn to be a good talker, he has to learn to be a good what? Listener, right? And your wife will tell you about herself if you listen carefully. Now, here's something that's really fun. I know a lot of men who are traumatized by birthdays, anniversaries, and Christmas. Why? Because they're not listening to their wife, and they don't really know what she wants or needs. So, you know, they do the typical candy, flowers, cards. Nothing wrong with that. But there isn't, ask your wife this question. Is there anything more fantastic than receiving a gift that's exactly what I wanted because my husband was listening to me? I mean, could we poll the women in the audience right now and have them put their hands in the air and say amen to that? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that's part of knowing your sheep, knowing what they want, knowing what their needs are, listening carefully, not always answering. In fact, there are three categories when we're talking. One, do you want me to just listen and not say anything? Do you want me to listen and give you my feedback? That's number two. Or number three is, do you want me to listen, give feedback, and give my opinion on what I think you ought to do? And there's nothing wrong with when your wife says something for you to say, okay, in which of the three categories is this? Do you want me to just sit quietly and listen, nod, smile, listen carefully? And by the way, hearing impaired people have taught us how to listen. You listen with your eyes, right? Yeah. You can't listen if you've got your smartphone or a football game on TV. You listen with your eyes. So is this a time you want me to just listen, or do you want me to give my feedback? Here's what I think. This is interesting. Here's what I'm hearing you saying. Or number three, would you like me to give you my advice? And your wife will give you an answer to those three. No, I just want you to listen. I don't need an answer right now. I just need to process it. That's part of knowing your sheep. It's interesting. Deuteronomy 24, you remember this admonition. So a young Jewish boy gets married, and Deuteronomy 24 says, don't do anything else for the next 12 months, but learn the secrets of your wife. Learn learn to know your wife. Can you imagine a guy going to his boss saying, well, I'm about to get married. I want you to know I'm taking the next year off because I want to learn who this person is. The fun thing is men do not need to become an expert on women. They need to become an expert on one woman,
amen,
their wife.
And
that's his job.
So good. And on the flip side of that, Robert, if a woman feels like, again and again, time and time again, where she's expressed something and it's skimmed by him and he's missed it, your heart just sinks because you feel like, I've said this so many times, so I feel dismissed by you. So conversely, when you feel heard, you feel loved, you feel safe, and you want to follow the person who's leading in that case, right?
Absolutely, yes. Just listen. Listen with your eyes. Ask questions. That's the tennis ball. So she says something, she throws a tennis ball at you. Don't put it in your pocket. Throw it back.
Yeah.
And you say, what do you mean by hurt? Or what do you mean by whatever word you use? And she'll answer that. You go back. That's what you do. You're a professional tennis player, Susie. That's what you're doing right now. You're listening to me, and then you're responding with what I said because you were listening carefully. There's nothing magical about this. It can be done. Even by men in their marriages.
Amen. Talking to Robert Wolgemuth today, his book is titled Like the Shepherd, Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace, hardcover book. Michael Hyatt said this is the best marriage book I have read in a very long time. We've got 4 copies. Email me, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put shepherd in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what it means for a shepherd to satisfy his sheep, for the shepherd to lead his sheep, for the shepherd to protect his sheep. If you've got questions, send them right to me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. I have been with us. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Robert Wolgemuth today. He's written an amazing book titled Like the Shepherd, Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace. And we're walking through what a shepherd does for his sheep. And a shepherd speaks to his sheep. A shepherd satisfies his sheep. Speak to those two, if you would, Robert.
Well, we just talked about speaking and listening.
Yeah.
Really the secret of being able to carry on a good conversation with your wife really is twofold. It's listening and then responding to what she says.
Yeah.
And listening not just to her words, but her heart. So you hear yourself saying when you're talking to her, help me understand what you mean by that. So, and like you said, if a husband doesn't do that, his wife will soon go somewhere else to open her heart. Because she has to find somebody. She has to find a safe place to open her heart. And how much better would it be if that person would be you?
Amen.
And you're right. Satisfies, leads, and, you know, this is not original. This is straight out of Psalm 23. So I'm not paid to be original, just effective. So this is total ripoff from Psalm, King David. So I hope you understand. In fact, Minneapolis is a big sports town these days, right? So one of the things I talk about is protection and comfort. So here's a really important thing. This is especially for men who have children at home, especially adolescents. So let's say that he's at the table and that we're having dinner and one of the kids says something kind of snarky about their mom. Now, does the dad laugh at that? Does the dad kind of wink at the kid? Or does he do something about it? So here's the image, and men are going to get this. Women will too, especially women who follow baseball. So there's a baseball game being played. You're at the stadium, and your team is up to bat, and the umpire makes a really bad call. The guy slides into second, he calls him out, but he was safe. So what does the manager do? The manager goes racing out of the dugout, and he's nose-to-nose now out at second base with the umpire. And depending on the spirit of the manager, he's either shouting or he might actually be like kicking dirt on the umpire's shoes. Now, why does he do that? he's not doing it so that the umpire will change his mind, because the umpire will not change his mind. And now I'm not talking about video replay. That's changed a lot. But I'm talking about a call that the umpire has made that the manager disagrees with. So I have a question. Why, if the manager knows the guy's not going to change his mind, if the manager knows he's going to make a fool of himself in front of all these people, if the manager knows that he's going to get a fine probably for what he's doing, why does he do it? He does it for the guy that's in the dugout. He does it for the guy that's just been called out. That guy knows that my manager is going to stand up for me. That manager is going to protect me. So back to the dinner table. The child says something snarky at their mom, and what do? You're the dad sitting there. You're the husband sitting there. And you look at your child. You don't stand up. You don't yell and scream. That's worse. You look at the child and you say, that is unacceptable. You will not speak to your mother like that. So, okay, now, Susie, you're the mom. How do you feel?
Defended and protected.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So there are different ways, you know, we live in a culture that's concerned about protection, right? People lock their doors and lock their cars and so forth. And that's a certain form of protection. But this, for your wife, is the kind of protection she can put in the bank. She can salt it away in her soul. My husband loves me enough to protect me. You're not kicking dirt on your kid's shoes like the manager is, but you're defending your wife. You're protecting her. And you're saying to her, in my presence, you're safe. Hmm. That's the whole picture of the sheepfold.
Yep.
You're safe.
You know what? It's a beautiful picture, too. We raised our three sons are pretty close in age, so they all kind of got their license simultaneously. And I remember one day around the dinner table, my husband said, okay, guys, you all drive. He said, as long as you live under this roof, mom will never pump her own gas again. So if you're using the car and it goes, then, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I just can't even tell you. That totally surprised me. But what it did for my heart, for him even to model that and then raise up these guys to care for me in that way, was just an amazing gesture. It's amazing how far those things will go. I often say, we as women, we're not hard to sweep off our feet. You do a few of those things, and that's
sweet.
It, man.
You well, know? I love your husband. I've never met him, but I love him. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that he could have said that in a condescending way, like,
yeah.
He doesn't know how to
oh,
do
right.
it.
Oh, so right, yeah.
But that isn't the way you took it.
No.
And I love that. And your kids loved it. They got it.
Yeah.
So what they're doing, They're seeing the pattern of a good husband, which gives them every opportunity to someday be good husbands themselves, because mm-hmm. they know exactly what that looks like.
Yeah, and they are. They're amazing
yeah.
husbands.
Yeah.
So how about this
oh,
one?
I love it.
A shepherd feeds his sheep.
Well, okay, let's talk about dinner time. I just made a comment about dinner time. How important is dinner time? It's very important. In fact, Italians and Jews are better at this than anybody else. Italians call it the sacred table, and it's absolutely sacred. And Nancy grew up in a home. Art DeMoss was her daddy. Samuel Waldman was my daddy. And mealtime was really important. It was a time to connect. And now I've thrown the gauntlet down because we are all so busy. We got practices. You know, we got dance lessons. We got musical lessons, we got sports practices, all kinds of stuff that tear us away. And what I would say, I guess I would plead with dads and moms to make mealtime at least, let's call it 3 times a week. Is that too much? To have an opportunity to feed your family, not just food, but to connect with each other, to listen carefully, to be completely unplugged, oh my, to say, okay, in fact, my daughter, who's 43, has a basket near the table, and when you come to dinner, you put your phone in the basket.
Oh, I love that.
And you don't have it at the table.
Hmm.
There, I mean, that's an enemy. Walk through a restaurant, you'll see a family sitting there, and finish the sentence. Hmm. Every single person is sitting there looking into their smartphone. Well, like, what kind of dinner is that? So you make it intentional, and you have meal times together. And I think it's a critical way of building your family. And if your family isn't up for this, be the shepherd. Be the leader. Don't be afraid of being unpopular. Don't be afraid of the you know, your kid going, Dad, you know, like, this isn't Fred Flintstone here. Come on, let's get a life. Don't worry about that. Be the leader. Be courageous. You know, and the book, hopefully the book gives you some really good, solid examples of the way to do that without being angry or ugly at home.
Very good. We've got a couple minutes before we pray here. How about this one? A shepherd meets the needs of his sheep.
Well, you need to know what they are, right?
Yeah.
And so that's all part of conversation. That's listening carefully. That's knowing your wife's heart, knowing her fears, knowing how you can support in times of her insecurity and uncertainty, and she'll pay you back for that. You know, every man I know faces the same kind of fear, really. You know, the older you get, the more you begin to fear your own health and the challenges that your disintegrating body faces. You know, Genesis 3 is true for all of us. We're dying, right, a step at a time here. And so there's a very important role that a husband can play in meeting his wife's needs, understanding what they are and stepping up to the plate. Sometimes it's expensive, but it usually isn't.
Yeah.
She wants you. She doesn't want stuff. She wants
right.
you.
So true. One last question. A shepherd pastors his sheep. Talk about that one.
Well, guess what? The Old Testament showed us exactly what it looks like to be a priest in your home. And this is a spiritual role. And if I've heard anything from women after having written this book, what they say to me, oh, how I wish my husband would be the spiritual leader in our home. And so this isn't different than any of the other challenges that I mentioned in this book. It may be the most difficult one. And so here's what I would challenge men who are listening right now to do. I would beg them, actually. I would beg them to pray with your wife.
Yeah.
Pray with your wife.
Amen.
And I'm not bragging, Susie, I promise. This is unpacking this. I'm having a cup of coffee with my buddy who's listening to this. But every night before we go to sleep, Nancy comes over, we cuddle, she puts her head on my shoulder, and we talk about the day. Sometimes we laugh hard about the day, funny things that happened, and then I close the day by praying. I pray for her. I pray for a good rest. I pray for her whole family, her siblings by name, for our kids and grandkids by name, and then other needs that have been brought up to us during the day. I pray every night. And now here's, and the other kind of bonus moment is I wake up usually before Nancy does, so it's dark. She knows that I've wakened. She puts her hand out. I lie across the bed. I put my face right next to her, and I thank her. I thank the Lord for the day and give the day to Him in my wife's presence. That's the pastor. That's what he does.
Amen.
You know, you look at your family and you say, "Thus says the Lord," and you take them to the throne. You be that kind of leader, humble servant leader of your family and of your wife.
Well, that was so worth hearing. This is normally the time when we pray, but I felt like somebody absolutely needed to hear that, so I wanted to let you continue. And oh boy, this has been rich, boy, so good, Robert. Thank you for your time today and for your godly example.
Well, I'm a sinful man, sinner saved by grace. By the grace of God, I'm very grateful.
Well, I hope you'll come back and talk to us again. Robert Wolgamos.
Thanks, Susie. Let's do it.
Yes, definitely. Title of Robert's book is Like the Shepherd. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And in just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, too. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this Live the Promise podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of Live the Promise.